Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Well, our title today, we are in part number 5 of our series, Elijah the Tishbite. And this is our opening take. Atop Mount Carmel, overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, the prophet Elijah said to all the people, "How long are you going to halt between how many opinions?" Between two opinions. If the Lord be God, what are we going to do? Follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. So most of the people on the mount that day, we get the picture, were undecided in their opinion of worship. And we ought not shake our finger too much at them today because the same type of things happen. When it comes to the things of God, people are oftentimes not very decided in their opinions and practice. It is generally thought and said in pop society, in a lot of circles in society today, that all opinions are right. And if a man shall honestly hold his convictions, he is without doubt correct. Well, it is possible to be honestly wrong. Amen? Well, I don't know if we should say amen to that or not. But this is real. That's beside the point, because truth is truth regardless of opinion. Truth is not changed by our opinions. A thing is either true or false in and of itself. And it is neither made true nor false by our personal views of it. So it is for us, therefore, to judge carefully and not to think that just any opinion will do. Besides, opinions have influence upon conduct. If a man has a wrong opinion, he will most likely, in some way or the other, have the wrong conduct, because usually the two go together. And so Elijah called the people of God to take a stand. He encouraged them to stop wavering between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. Not because that happens to be your opinion, but because he is God. And if you believe the truth, I can see Elijah saying something like this. If you believe the truth that the Lord is God, then follow him. Carry it out in your daily life. Let your conduct be consistent with your opinion. Be loving as he is. Be holy as he is. Be prayerful, be faithful, be trusting, upright, obedient. Give your whole heart and mind to God and follow him, but do not pretend to follow God and live like you don't. By the grace of God, I can hear Elijah thundering, let your conduct back up what you say you believe. Will you please bow your heads and pray with me? Oh, Father in heaven, what a privilege that we've had to worship you this day. We thank you for the blessings that we have already received. And Lord, now as we take a little bit of time to open the sacred scriptures, we invite your Holy Spirit to grant us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So please turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to the 18th chapter of 1 Kings once again. 1 Kings chapter 18. And we wish to begin our study today with verse number 16, kind of where we left off last week. So 1 Kings 18, verse 16, the Bible says, "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that what? Troubles Israel." By the way, have you ever noticed that usually the world, especially ungodly political leaders, point their finger at faithful people and accuse them of being the cause of the problem? That's happened all through history. That's what is happening here. King Ahab asked Elijah the question, "Are you he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but who?" Yeah, "you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." So when the king points at Elijah, saying, "Are you the troubler of Israel? Are you the cause of hundreds of people being sick and dying off? Are you the cause of all the famine, all the trouble, all the loss of livestock, professions? Everything is dried up in desert-like. Are you the one who troubles Israel?" And by the way, when a king in those days said something like that, it sent fear through the hearts of the people. But is Elijah afraid? No. You know, he didn't back up and say, "Oh, king, you know, I'm sorry if I may have offended you or caused any troubles." He didn't say anything like that. He got in the king's face and pointed at him, "I have not troubled Israel. You have, in that you have forsaken something." What have you forsaken? The commandments of God. By the way, the issue here is over true worship. And one of the central focuses is the commandments of God. And Bible prophecy tells us that this type of a setting is going to happen. Guess what? It's going to happen one more time in the future. That's why it's important for us to be Elijahs of the end of time, I believe, to learn lessons from this story will help us to stand firm today and in the future. And so Elijah responds by saying, "I have not troubled Israel. You and your fathers have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have worshipped Baal." Verse number 19 there says, "Now therefore," this is Elijah speaking, "Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel." How much of Israel? Everybody. "And the prophets of Baal, 450. How many prophets of Baal? 450. "And the prophets of the groves." How many prophets of the groves? 400, "which eat at Jezebel's table." So, notice who's in charge now. You know, Elijah says, "I'm not the problem, you are. Now, this is what we're going to do about it. You gather all the people, you get together all your prophets of Baal, all your prophets of the groves, you get together everybody, meet me on top of Mount Carmel." Verse 20, "So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Carmel." Who's in charge now? The prophet is. How many of the people are atop Mount Carmel and around its slopes? All the people. How many prophets? Well, 450 of the prophets of Baal, and what? 400 of the groves, and Elijah. At least that's what we see in the text here. And then verse 21, our key text. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So, that day was a day to be remembered. When the multitudes of Israel were assembled atop and around Mount Carmel. And I would like to suggest that at the gathering there that day, there were three types of people. First of all, there was the devoted servant of Jehovah, a solitary prophet. His name was Elijah. And he represented the faithful and obedient people of God in Israel. And that were there more than him? Yes, we're going to find out in a couple of weeks. Now, he takes off, and he's in a wilderness place, and he's telling God, I'm the only one. And what does God say? No, you're not. I have 7,000. How many? 7,000 who have not bowed the knee. And so here we have Elijah up on Mount Carmel, representing the faithful and the obedient and the committed people of God. The second group, there are the decided servants of the evil one. And how many of them are there? Well, we know at least 850. And then you have King Ahab and whatever his courtiers were and wherever they were at in these things. But you have the decided servants of the evil one. And then you have a third group. I'm going to call them the vast majority. They were those who had not fully determined whether to fully worship God, the God of their fathers, or Baal, the God of Jezebel, and the surrounding nations. So on the one hand, their ancient traditions led them to fear Jehovah, and on the other hand, their interests at court led them to bow before Baal. Many of them, therefore, were secret. They were what? Secret and half-hearted followers of Jehovah, while at the same time, public worshipers of Baal. Thus, they were at this juncture, halting between two opinions. Elijah, up on the mountainside there, does not address his sermon to the priests of Baal. He will have something to say to them by and by. Nor does he have anything to say to those who are thorough and faithful servants of Jehovah. His discourse is directed at who? Those who are halting between what? Two opinions. Now, today, I believe we have in the church a large number who are clearly and faithfully and obediently on God's side. Amen. I fear, though, that there are those who may be on the evil one's side. But I have a hunch that most in the church today belong to the third class, the waverers, those halting between two opinions. You remember in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, there are messages to some churches, and the last church, the seventh church, what's the name of that church? Laodicea. They have a similar problem. They are not hot Christians. They are not cold. They are just what? Lukewarm, in the middle of things, and they think that that's an okay place to be. In Jude chapter 1, such ones are described like empty clouds driven hither and thither. That's the King James language, by the way, which I like. Driven hither and thither by the wind. They are double-minded, undecided, and procrastinators in the things of God. And then I have to bring it home. Do you? There have been times in my walk with God when I have visited and been in such places between two opinions when it comes to the things of God. Maybe that has been true with you as well. And within God's beloved remnant church today, there are those who are in such a place with their feet kicked up, comfortable with the couch in the middle of the floor. To these ones, I would ask the question this morning that Elijah asked in days of yore, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? When I was growing up as a boy, me and my buddies, we used to like to play Follow the Leader. You remember that? How many of you played Follow the Leader when you were growing up? Yeah, most of us did. And so one particular day, I was the leader. And so I set out a plan to try to get my buddies. I had a couple of my sisters join me as well. Tried to set up a course that none of them would be able to make except me. Part of that course was the fence line. Dad had a wooden fence, a picket wooden fence that went along the side of his yard, dividing our property and the neighbor's property. And so that was about the third or fourth part of the course. Everybody's been able to follow me so far. And I got up on top of the fence line and started walking. My sister, Teresa, who was a year younger than me, she turned her head and covered her eyes. And she said something to the effect of, this is not going to turn out well. And she was correct. I didn't make it much more than 10 feet, lost my balance, fell over onto the neighbor's side of thing, and in the process, broke part of the fence. It's not easy to walk the fence. It's not easy to live your life being of multiple opinions on things, especially when it comes to the things of God. And so Elijah asked the question, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? May the question be answered amongst you and I today by the Holy Spirit in our hearts, which is convicting us to make the decision and say, how long? No longer. Lord, I do not want to halt or waver. This day I decide for you, and I am your faithful servant for the rest of my days. That's how I want to live my life. What about you? And in doing so, we will be as Elijah's of the end of time. But there are three simple points in this part of the story that I would like to emphasize that may help us along the way. Our first point is this. We note that the prophet of God insisted upon the distinction which existed between the worship of Baal and the worship of Jehovah. He insisted that there was this contrast between these two forms of worship. Most of the people who gathered on Mount Carmel evidently thought that Jehovah was God and that Baal was God too, and that for this reason, the worship of both could be quite consistent. The great mass of them did not reject the God of their fathers wholly, nor did they bow before Baal wholly. But as polytheists, believers in many gods, they thought both gods might be worshipped and each of them have a share in their hearts. So, how did the prophet of God respond on Mount Carmel? In a nutshell, he said, no, this will not do. These are two opinions. You can never make them one. They are the two contradictory things, and they can never, they can what? Never be combined. Thus, he asked the people the question, why are you halting, wavering between the two? Perhaps there were those who said, well, I will build in my house over here an altar to Jehovah. And I will build in my house over there an altar for Baal. I am of one opinion. I believe both to be God. Elijah's response would be what? No, absolutely not. It cannot be so. They are two. They are not one opinion. They are two opinions. You cannot unite those which are diametrically opposed to each other. I had a friend in my high school years tell me one time, he said, I am worldly, but I am religious too. He lived across the street from me. He said, I can go with my parents to church on Sunday morning and to the discotheque on the SeaTac Strip that night. And there were times for a while where I did the same thing, I'm ashamed to say. But even though that was the case, I knew that the two places were completely different places. I also knew in the back of my mind and the bottom of my heart that you cannot worship God in honesty and purity on the Sabbath and play the lusts of the world on the strip. And so the question is asked, may I not be a good churchman and a man of the world too, as my neighbor back in my growing up years? Maybe another way to put it would be, may I not stay with the team and bet for the opposite side of the field? May I not love God and check out the devil too? Take pleasure in each of them and give my heart to neither? The answer to these questions is what? No. They are two opinions. You cannot do it. They are distinct and separate. Jesus put it this way, no man can what? Serve two masters. So if you serve God, he will be your master. If the devil is served, it will not be long before he is your master. In a history book in college, I saw a picture of a statue of Mark Antony in a chariot yoked with two lions. So there's a statue in Vienna. You could go there and see. And I thought when I saw the picture in this history book and read a little bit about it, I thought to myself, well, now that is something. Can you imagine riding behind a chariot with two lions pulling it? But then I thought, you know, there are two lions in reality and in our spiritual world. There are two lions which no man can never yoke together. The lion from the tribe of Judah and the lion from the bottomless pit. Two opinions may be held in many things in society, and I'm okay with that, but two opinions in the matter of soul religion, you cannot hold. If God be God, do what? Serve him, and do it faithfully and thoroughly. But if the things of this world be God, serve them, but do not make a profession of faith in God. Remember, if the Lord be your God, you cannot have Baal too. Shall we apply it in our church setting? I see one or two people shaking their head Yes, so let's try that. And I'm putting myself in this example as well. You cannot be a respectable pastor, elder, deacon, or deaconess in the church and be covetous, grasping, mean-spirited at the same time. If you profess to be a Christian, be one. But if in your heart you know you are not and don't wish to be, don't pretend to be. Such wishy-washy Christianity doesn't work. And it only aids the side of our adversary. These things were taking place back in Elijah's day. And do these things take place amongst God's church today? So the prophet upon Carmel that day said, "These are two opinions, and you are halting between the two. How long are you going to do that?" And that leads to our second point. Elijah calls these waverers to account for the amount of time which they have consumed in trying to make up their minds. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Well, some might have told him, "I haven't had enough time yet to make up my mind." So Elijah asked the question, "How long? How long?" For 3.5 years, how many years? For 3.5 years, not a drop of rain or a mist of dew had fallen. Elijah could have asked them, "Was that not long enough?" He could have said, "For 3.5 years, God has removed his blessings from us. You and your families are starving. Your cattle and horses are dead. Your fields are parched. Your meadows are covered with dust like the very desert. Yet all this time of judgment, all this time of trial and affliction has not been enough for you to make up your minds? How long then," said he, "halt ye between two opinions?" How long? I wonder how long it will take for God's people today to fully and without reserve serve God and fulfill the task of living and sharing and teaching and preaching the three angels' messages. I think of the astounding statement of the messenger of the Lord to God's remnant church when she said, "Christ could have come ere this." So how long? How long are we going to live as Christian worldlings? How long will we be satisfied to be members of that extraordinary corporation called the religious world? I want no part of such things. God's true church, while they live in the world and share God's love to all the world, they are not of the world. They are not the religious world, but the remnant of God who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And if we are ever asked the question, "How long will you halt?" by God's grace, we will quickly say, "It will take no time at all for me to stop halting. God is my God, and he is so forever." The halting between the things of God and the stuff of the world needs to stop. When? Right now. And it's best that this happens in our lives sooner or later, for the halting between two opinions doesn't look very good. That's our last point. What's the point? The halting between two opinions does not look very good. with this last thought, we're going to take a look at the word halt in the King James language. The prophet Elijah charges God's people with the absurdity, and I believe silliness, of their position. He said, "How long will you what? Halt." When it came to the two opinions, what were the people doing? They were halting. The Hebrew word there, if you were to look it up, it means literally to falter or to limp. Which then, of course, hinders progress. Elijah represents God's people as like a man whose legs are out of joint. He's trying to walk, but he's faltering and limping. And so he asks the question, how long are you going to falter and limp along between two opinions? That does not look very good. How long are you going to waver and wiggle over there and then back over here? How long are you going to use the crutches of man when you can have the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, ruling in your life? Is it not true that a man who is neither one thing or the other is in a bad position? Let him go among the worldlings. Let him go where? Yeah, the halfway Christian. Let him go out in the world and try to do halfway things that they do. You know what they will do when they look at that? They will laugh under their sleeve. Methinks that even the devil himself must laugh at such a man trying to live and walk as the world, but not being very good at it. I remember my first experience walking onto a Christian campus. It was the Christian campus that I attended for high school. What a wonderful school that was. Amazing staff and teachers. At that time, I had around 500 students between the boarding students and the village students. I was a village student. And it didn't take me too long, not much more than a few weeks, to recognize that not all the students there were wholly committed Christians to God and His Word and His ways. I remember walking across campus one time, and you got to remember, I grew up in low housing income projects that were large neighborhoods that became known as the hood. And things took place there. And so I was walking across campus, and I saw this young guy about my age. He was walking across campus. We had been at baseball practice together. He was walking across campus, and I was watching how he was trying to walk. He was trying to walk like in the neighborhoods where I grew up, we would call how the gangbangers walked and did their things. And he was trying to do that. And guess what? He wasn't doing very good. And I remember in my mind thinking, the guy looks like a dork. You know, I need to go talk to him. And so I did talk to him. I said, hey, what's the deal with your strut? He said, oh, yeah, that's the way we do it now. I said, yeah, but you don't do it right. Half Christians. Christians being caught between two opinions. In reality and in practicality and on the street, that's not a pretty sight. And so the servant of God, the prophet Elijah, says, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, do what? Follow him. So atop Mount Carmel that day, overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, The prophet Elijah said to all the people, "How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him." And most of the people on the mountain that day were undecided in their opinion. But we ought not shake our fingers at them too much, because does the same type of things happen today? Yes, when it comes to the things of God, people are not always decided in their opinions and in their practice. It is generally thought and said nowadays in many circles that all opinions are right. And if a man shall honestly hold his convictions, he is correct. Well, it's possible to be honestly wrong in our opinions. But that is all beside the point, because truth is truth regardless of opinion. Truth is not changed by our opinions. A thing is either true or false in and of itself, and it is neither made true nor false by our personal views of it. It is for us, therefore, to judge carefully. To do what? To judge carefully, and not to think that just any opinion will do. Besides, opinions have influence upon conduct. If a man has a wrong opinion, he will most likely, in some way or the other, have the wrong what? Conduct. For the two usually go together. And so Elijah called the people of God to take a stand. He encouraged them to stop wavering between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. Not because that happens to be your opinion, but because he is God. And if you believe the truth that the Lord is God, then do what? Follow him. Carry it out in your daily life. Let your conduct be consistent with your opinion. Be loving as he is. Be holy as he is. Be prayerful. Be faithful. Be trusting. Be upright. Be obedient. Give your whole heart and mind to God and follow him. But do not pretend to follow God and live like you don't. And for the Church of God today here in Holland, Michigan, by the grace of God, let our conduct back up what we say we believe. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we want to be like Jesus, deep within our heart and our minds. Oh, Lord, fill us with your Spirit and settle us in these things. We want to stop our halting and wavering between two opinions when it comes to the principles of your kingdom. We want to be totally sold out for you. And thank you for making this possible. In the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we thank you. And let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.